جزاكم الله خير ما شاء الله. الحمد لله. You have heard from the students, and now it is time to hear from the teacher. So I would like to respectfully invite Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Mufti Muhammad Abrar al-Haq Sahib, to come here and allow us to benefit from his insights.
السلام عليكم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. Today for the monthly program, I had certain topics in my mind to discuss and also to share with you. But as I was listening to the experience of our students and also the reflections, I changed my mind. So inshallah, make dua for me. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give me tawfiq to say something which is beneficial for me and also for you. During the Tarbiyah camp, we had students from different places. Initially, we had, we were planning to do it for 2 weeks or max 3 weeks. So when we presented the idea to Hazrat, Hazrat said that, we should do it for 40 days. If you really want to benefit, then it should be for 40 days, because 40 days is a good portion of time in which some change can happen and some benefits can be observed. But obviously, it is a big commitment and a long commitment to have students whom we don't know or whom we have not met before, and then to host them and to look after them for 24 hours is a big commitment. So somehow we asked Hazrat to reduce it. So Hazrat allowed for 1 month. So alhamdulillah, we decided to do it for a month. When we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that people used to come and accept Islam, and then they used to stay in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a few days. And in a short period of time, they used to learn the basics of Islam. There are many ahadith and narrations about Arab and people who are Bedouins and people who came from different tribes, different places, and they stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a very short period of time. But in that short period of time, they learned quite a lot. And then they used to go back to their tribe. They used to go back to their people so that they can educate them about Islam. This tradition of the early Muslims continued, that people used to take time off their usual daily routine, and they used to come and stay in the halaqat of ilm, in the masajid, houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, where they can revive iman, and also where they can gain the knowledge and the wisdom of Islam. Unfortunately, as time passed by, we are very much away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And most people, they think that I already have learned few surahs, I already know how to pray salah, I have enough knowledge of Islam, so there is nothing for me to do anymore. And then this leads to the weakness of iman and also the lack of understanding of Islam. Because ilm, as we know, ilm grows with mudhakara. Even people who know, if they do not do mudhakara of ilm, ilm will become weak, understanding becomes weak, and then we forget what we have learned. But if we keep learning more, then we will not only increase in our knowledge, but also will preserve our knowledge. In the Islamic history, we have very exceptional examples of people who dedicated their life to seeking ilm. The great Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayh, Abu Yusuf, he was the Qadi al-Qudat. Qadi al-Qudat yani chief justice, the judge of the judges. Perhaps the first post of the Qadi al-Qudat in the history, because prior to that there was no such concept. Qadi Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, he was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, great Imam, Alim, Faqih, Muhaddith. Somebody visited him when he was on his deathbed. Yani khalas, he is old enough and people know, and he might have feeling that I am just living the last moments of my life. You know, when a person is in that situation, what would be his feeling? What would be the status of his mind? What would go in his mind? Oh, what will happen to my family? What will happen to my children? Right? You know, etc. The affairs. Somebody visited Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi at that time. So Imam Abu Yusuf said, "Mashallah, very good. You know, it's good to see you. Can you please tell me, what is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to rami? When we go for hajj and we throw the pebbles, you know, on shaitan, ramiul jamarat. What is the sunnah way of doing it? Meaning, is it sunnah to do rami while riding the horse or the camel? Or is it sunnah to do rami while on foot?" People who have been there would realize that it can be very crowded, right? And sometimes you have to do more than one rami. First shaitan, second shaitan, or people say small shaitan, big shaitan. But so you are moving. So which one is better? Or which one is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the person who visited Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, he thought for a while and he said the sunnah is to do while on foot. Imam Abu Yusuf said, "No, that is not sunnah." What option is left now? The only option that is left now is, well, if it is not the case, then it must be sunnah to do while riding. So the person, he said, "Well, it must be while riding." Now Qadi Abu Yusuf, he is old, rahmatullahi alayh, and he is about to die. But look at the connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at the value of the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even in that situation, his mind is busy with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah azza wa jalla give us such minds. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the last breath of our life. So he said, "Well, it must be while riding." Imam Abu Yusuf said, "No." So it is neither on foot nor while riding. Well, you do while flying. And there were no helicopters, right? No jets. Or no air taxis. Then the person, the visitor, he said to Qadi Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, "Okay, please, you do tell me, you know, how should we do the rami?" Then Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, "Well, the sunnah is that if there is rami after rami, yani you throw pebbles on shaitan, and then you are going to throw more pebbles on a next shaitan than you do while on foot. But if there is no rami after rami, and you are going to do just rami and then leave, then the sunnah is to do while riding. Now who would pay attention to these details? And who would remember them? Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayh, he was thinking about this while on the bed. Anyway, the person he visited, he had this conversation and then he took leave. You know, make dua for me, whatever. He was at the door about to leave the house and he heard the ladies crying. Yani Qadi Abu Yusuf died. He just had the muzakara of ilm before he died. He just had the muzakara of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before he died. This was the status of the early Muslims. Okay, that is long time ago, and very long time ago. Because Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa was born in year 90 after Hijrah. And Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi died in year 150 after Hijrah. So we are talking about second century of Islam, right? So now we are in which century? 15th century. We are in 15th century of Islam. So that is nearly 1200 or more years ago. One of the recent ulama of the recent past, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh. Allama Anwar Shah Al-Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh. Anybody who has knowledge of hadith would know the value of this name. People say Kashmiri. Kashmiri means Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri. Or you say Shah Sahab. Shah Sahab also means Allama Anwar Shah Al-Kashmiri. Because Shah Sahab, in every science, there is a different Shah Sahab. So in the science of hadith, Shah Sahab yani Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, he was a student of Sheikhul Hind, Hazrat Maulana Mahmud Sahab rahmatullah alayh, and also other great ulama of our time. He taught hadith and he compiled many books on the various topics of hadith, etc. Many great ulama and muhaddithin of our time are students of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, like Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh. In Pakistan there is a famous madrasa called Bin Nuri Town. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, he established the madrasa. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, the student of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, and many other ulama. Somebody, yani one of the ulama, senior ulama, visited Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh when he was on his bed. Yani towards the end of his life. And he was reading a book. And the book is on his chest. So, you know, this person, he said, why you are troubling yourself at this time? You know, if there is something to be looked, then you can ask one of the students or one of the asatiza, they can look for you. You can just say, well, can you please find this hadith? Can you please find this masala? They can look for the masala. Oh, and they can tell you, find this hadith. They can look for the hadith and they can inform you. Why you are troubling yourself in this situation? Then he had a conversation with Shah Sahab rahmatullah alayh. So Hazrat Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, he said, I feel that I have wasted my life. A person who dedicated his entire life to the service of Islam, he spent his entire life. If you want to imagine his contribution to the knowledge of hadith in our time, he was almost one of the, you know, unique personalities in the entire Islamic history. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, he had a memory which was almost unmatchable in our time. He used to say that if I read something once, I would remember it for 40 years. If he read something once, I would remember it 40 years. And he was serious. Because towards the end of his life, he used to say, now I have become weak and my memory is not that good. Unfortunately, if I read something, I only remember it for 25 years. If I I say this to our students sometimes, right? The students of modern era and the students of these, you know, advanced places of the world. Unfortunately, we have memory like jellyfish. Anybody has seen jellyfish? You go and study about the memory of jellyfish. For how long they remember something. Believe me, you say something and immediately you ask them back. Not one day later or 1 week later, no. Immediately you ask them back. They say, what did you say? But I have just said it. What did you say? Allama Bashar Kashmir Abdullah, he had that memory. And that is the barakah of the ilm of hadith. The ulama of hadith, they used to have such memory. And many people who complain about the weakness of memory, I say, if you want to strengthen your memory, follow the ulama of hadith. Allah knows best, but from what we gather, what made the memory of the ulama of hadith strong? One of the great reasons for their memory to be strong is the salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Durood on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because every time they read, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم روى أبو هريرة عن رسول. You know, in every, perhaps in every minute, 10, 15 times, 20, 30 times, salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day, hundreds of times. And this is experience. The more you see, the more you say durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the stronger memory you will have. Especially children who are memorizing the Quran, reading, but nothing registers. Right? You're moving up and down, but nothing is going inside. Why not? Because our memory is not receiving. We are not taking. People used to hear something once, and they used to remember it for life. In fact, in the books of hadith, we have examples. Once Marwan ibn al-Hakam, Marwan, he was governor of Medina. You know, when you have authority, when you have power. He was not a Sahabi. Marwan was not a Sahabi. But Allah gave him power, so he became the governor of Medina. So when you have the authority, you have some feeling. So he invited Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And he said, narrate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he narrated. After 1 year, he invited him again. Can you please narrate the same hadith which you narrated last year? No, you know, we go and speak in many places, right? We have many conversations. If you ask me, what did you say on the 1st of August, you know, on August 1st or on August 2nd last year? Can I repeat? Can somebody repeat? What you said last year on July 4th when you went for shopping and you were bargaining with that person, or is it very difficult? He asked, can you please repeat the narrations which you narrated last year? He narrated all of them, and in fact there was somebody who had registered, who had written all the narrations, so he was checking with his book. He narrated all of those ahadith in the same order. This is the barakah of the salawat and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are so blessed. We are so lucky. We are so fortunate to know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Knowing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the greatest blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Am lam ya'rifu rasulahum fahum lahu munkirun. Don't they recognize their messenger? Don't they know their messenger? Knowing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that great blessing. So we come from such a background where we have value for ilm, where we have value for knowledge, and this elevated the status of ummah. Why the ummah is in decline? We are in decline because we have not valued the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. This ummah will never be elevated unless we value the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. This ummah can never be elevated unless we value the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we don't have regard for Allah and His messenger, Allah is going to care about us? Allah will not care about us. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Indeed, Allah does not change what is with the people unless they change what is with them. Inna Allah yarfa'u bihadha al-kitab yaqwaman wa yad'u bihi akharin. Indeed, Allah elevates with this book some people and Allah degrades some people with this book. This book is the criteria for elevation or for degradation. People who value the book, Allah will elevate them. And Allah has done that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not theory. This is real knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal elevated Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Allah Azza wa Jal elevated Tabi'een. Allah Azza wa Jal elevated the early Muslims. The early Muslims, they saw everything which we did not see. They experienced everything which we did not experience. You think of something, they had experience which we did not have. In terms of money, they had money which we cannot even imagine. The money which the Khulafa used to have, the money which they used to just distribute. The Khulafa of Banu Umayyah, the Khulafa of Banu Abbas, the money which they just used to give away, we cannot even imagine nowadays. The luxury they used to have, we cannot even imagine. The comfort they used to have, we cannot even imagine. The food they used to have, we cannot imagine. The maida, the dasturkhan they used to have, we cannot imagine. Hundreds of people, thousands of people used to eat every day. I say this sometimes to our friends. Alhamdulillah, with the barakah of Hazrat Mufti Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, we have these programs. And alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal, some brothers, they take time and they dedicate their effort. And alhamdulillah, we have food which is served here. But they used to have food every day. They used to serve food every day. That is possible. Why not? What they have experienced, we cannot even imagine. And all of that was due to the barakah of the Quran and the barakah of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the greatest takeaway from these gatherings is that we need to revive the ilm of deen in our homes, in our families. We need to dedicate more of our children for the knowledge of the Quran, for the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, after Asr Salah with the ulama, when I was having conversation, they said, don't talk about anything, just do the tashkil. How the brothers in Jamaat, they do the tashkil. So do the tashkil. Meaning, alhamdulillah, we have this great idara in our community, right? So this is a platform. This is a platform to enhance our knowledge of deen for ourselves and also for our children. So the best benefit of this idara is that our children, they learn the Quran. Our children, they learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See how some of the youth, they came from different parts of the country and they have benefited. right? It is not easy. It is not easy to leave family for a long period of time. It is not easy to leave home for a long period of time. But Allah gives tawfiq. Allah Azza gives tawfiq, and people benefit. Alhamdulillah, we have full time madrasa for boys and also for girls. I personally believe that every child from every family should come to the madrasa. Every child from every family. Because what else do you want? What else do you need? If you need food, Allah will provide food. If you need respect, Allah will give respect. If you need all the worldly needs, Allah will provide you all your worldly needs. But connect yourself with God. The one who is there to give, connect yourself with Him and He will give you everything. And Alhamdulillah, we also have the academic subjects that are taught. So if anybody wants to have that added bonus that is there, we have a STEM program. And STEM is after Zohar Salah, we have the classes. So what excuse we have? Okay, some people, they think that I am not ready for that. I think my children, they're not ready for that. Many parents, they take advice of the children. I don't understand. We used to encourage the children, and we do encourage children to take advice of the parents. But I have seen many parents, they seek advice from their children. Why you want to seek advice from your children? Your children, at this stage of life, they don't know what is good for them. So we as parents should help them and should guide them. Okay, I take that. If you think they are not ready for memorizing the Quran, if you think that they are not fully ready for dedicating themselves for the ilm of deen, well, we have full-time school. We have full-time school. And, under one roof from preschool until 8th grade for boys and also for girls. And for a fees, which is a fraction of the fees in other places. If people worry about the money, money should not be the issue. And in fact, sometimes some parents, they say, this, that. I tell them, if you have genuine reason, then there is no reason to reject you. We are human beings and we have circumstances. If somebody cannot afford the fees, just go and tell the school administration that I cannot afford to pay the fees. Yes, there are expenses. So if somebody can afford, so we should realize ourselves, and the school administration, they should also encourage you to pay the fees, because how the school is going to run. But if somebody has a genuine cause, then you just say, and inshallah they will be happy to help you. There is no reason for anybody not to have admission in Islamic school, unless we don't want. Alhamdulillah, this monthly gathering is also a platform for us to remind each other and for us to re-establish connection with the ilm, with the ulama, and with these such gatherings. So the benefit of these gatherings is that we take action. This is the benefit of these gatherings. I hope that we take action. Can I hope that we take action? Right? Alhamdulillah, everybody can take something away. At least we can renew our intention to seek ilm, to continue to seek ilm. We can renew our intention to send salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everybody at least can send salawat 300 times every day. And the ulama, they used to say that the students, they should do that 1,000 times. The students, what is the point of being a student? What is the point of learning the Quran and reading the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if we cannot send salawat 1,000 times? 1,000 times is just, very simple formula. And common people can do at least 300 times. You send salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly, and inshallah you will see the benefit. And make sure that if you have children in your family, you put them on this path, the path of seeking ilm. And if you have neighbors, encourage them to put them on this path, the path of seeking ilm. If you have relatives, you encourage them. Because this path is the path of Jannah. The path of seeking ilm is the path of Jannah. There is no doubt about it. Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahhalallahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah, kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whoever walks the path seeking ilm, Allah will make easy for him because of this Jannah. So Jannah will be there and will also be there easily. Allah will give Jannah, and Allah will give Jannah with much convenience and also much ease. And this is for both, for men and also for women, for boys and also for girls. Alhamdulillah, we have girls who are memorizing the Quran. This is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people used to think, why should the girls memorize the Quran? Well, if the girls don't learn the Quran, who is going to teach the Quran to the girls? If the women do not learn the Quran, who is going to teach the Quran to the women? Believe me, the vast majority of the people do not know the Quran properly. So who is going to teach these women? There are lots of girls, they do not read the Quran properly. Who is going to teach them? So we have to have girls, we have to have women, ladies, who learn the Quran so that they can teach the Quran. In the early Islamic history, the children, they used to learn the Quran at home with their mothers and with their aunties. But I add something, that with their mothers who have learned, not any mothers, with their aunties who have already learned. Because aunties who have not learned, they will spoil. They will do a damage which is very difficult to be repaired. If you do not find a proper teacher, do not learn the Quran until you find a proper teacher. If you do not find a proper teacher, then find the teacher first and then learn the Quran. Unfortunately, people learn from anybody. You know, you want to have medication, you look for doctors, don't you? And nowadays, mashallah, people look for reviews. Even for doctors, people look for reviews. How many reviews he has? How many stars he has? I have seen these people doing that. Right? Even for doctors. Okay, somebody teaching the Quran, what are the credentials? What is his background? Do some background check. You know, who is this person? Whom he learned from? Where she learned from? Many people, they did not learn from anybody, or they did not learn properly, but somehow they found themselves teaching, and some people, they found themselves learning from them. So in Arabic they say faqidu shay'in la yu'ti, somebody who does not have something cannot give. Those who have not learned, can they teach? You know, the tragedy is that in many masajid you have the people who are teaching the Quran, they don't know how to read the Quran properly. In many masajid, this is a tragedy. And these children who learn the Quran in an appropriate way, in a wrong way, believe me, it's a big headache to correct the Quran. It is not easy to correct the Quran, because they got used to it. It is easier to teach somebody who does not know anything, but it is far more difficult to teach somebody who has learned in the wrong way. It is a big responsibility of the people who are responsible for the masajid, for madaris, for Islamic schools, that you have proper teachers who can teach the Quran. You don't just ask any, you know, uncle, auntie to teach. Find somebody who is right. And when you have, then take advantage of it and consider it as a blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and show gratitude to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. People used to travel to read the Quran. Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Aqsa Bardawi Rahmatullah Alayhi, I have heard about him that he read the Quran with his Ustad for 18 years. Long period of time. But look at the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. He revived the tajweed, the ilm of tajweed in the Indian subcontinent. In almost every state of India, he has madaris. In almost every state. The number of madaris are in hundreds. In more than 1,000 madrasas he was responsible for. So how many students are there? Not students, madrasas. Right? So value the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal will also elevate your ranks in dunya and also in akhirah. So can I hope that inshallah you take some action after this program today? Alhamdulillah, the youth who have come and who have spent time with us during this program, I'm really honored to serve them and to spend time with them. If I have any shortcomings, and we are human beings and we have shortcomings, I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive us, forgive me, and I also ask them to forgive me. And I hope that if they have learned something, that they take it back with them. And I hope that they continue to seek ilm, and I hope they continue to have connection with this idara and with our Hazrat Mufti Sahab Dawud Barakatuh. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq to act upon what has been said. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq to seek ilm and to have sincerity and ikhlas. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Dua karna hai. Tere dua, durud sharif padh lijiye. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك التقى والهدى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اے اللہ اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما اے اللہ امت مسلمہ کے حال پر رحم فرما اے اللہ امت کے کمزوروں پر رحم فرما اے اللہ امت کے مظلوموں پر رحم فرما اے اللہ اس امت کی مدد فرما اے اللہ اپنا غیظ و غضب ہم سے ہٹا لے اے اللہ اپنی ناراضگی ہم سے ہٹا لے اے اللہ ہم بے حد پریشان ہیں اے اللہ ہم بے حد لاچار ہیں اے اللہ ہم بے حد مجبور ہیں اے اللہ ہم ہر طرف سے گھرے ہوئے ہیں اے اللہ کوئی آسرا نہیں آپ کے علاوہ اے اللہ آپ کے علاوہ کوئی سہارا نہیں اے اللہ آپ کے علاوہ کوئی ہمارے سننے والا نہیں اے اللہ آپ کے علاوہ کوئی ہماری مدد کرنے والا نہیں اے اللہ ہم پر رحم فرما اے اللہ ہم پر کرم فرمائیے اے اللہ ہماری مدد فرمائیے اے اللہ مسلمانوں کی جان کی حفاظت فرمائیے مسلمانوں کے مال کی حفاظت فرمائیے اے اللہ مسلمانوں کی عزت آبرو کی حفاظت فرمائیے اے اللہ ظلم کو ختم فرمائیے اے اللہ ظلم کو قہر کو ختم فرمائیے اے اللہ ظالموں کے تسلط کو ختم فرمائیے اے اللہ ظالموں سے نجات دلا دیجیے اے اللہ عافیت نصیب فرمائیے اے اللہ آسانی نصیب فرمائیے اے اللہ اپنے دین سے وابستگی نصیب فرمائیے اے اللہ حضرت محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے محبت نصیب فرمائیے اے اللہ اپنے ذات عالی سے تعلق نصیب فرمائیے اپنی معرفت سے ہم سب کو مالا مال فرمائیے اپنی محبت سے ہم سب کو مالا مال فرمائیے اے اللہ دنیا میں آخرت میں کامیابی نصیب فرمائیے اے اللہ ہر طرح کا خیر نصیب فرمائیے ہر طرح کے شر سے ہماری حفاظت فرمائیے اے اللہ ہماری ہمارے اولادوں کی اے اللہ آگے آنے والے نسلوں کی ہم سب کی حفاظت فرمائیے اے اللہ دین پر استقامت نصیب فرمائیے دین پر جینا دین پر مرنا نصیب فرمائیے اے اللہ حسن خاتمہ نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ ہمارے اکابرین کو، ہمارے بڑوں کو، ہمارے اساتذہ کو، ہمارے مشائخ کو، ہمارے والدین کو، ان کے مشائخ کو، ان کے اساتذہ کو، اے اللہ سب کو اجر عظیم نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ ان کی قربانی و قبول فرمائیے. اے اللہ جو حیات ہے ان کی عمر میں برکت نصیب فرمائیے، ان کو عافیت نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ جو آپ کے پاس جا چکے ہیں ان پر رحم فرمائیے. اے اللہ ان کی کروٹ کروٹ مغفرت فرمائیے. اے اللہ ہماری زندگی میں برکت نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ حاضرین مجلس کی زندگی میں برکت نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ ان کی عمروں میں برکت نصیب فرمائیے. آل اولاد میں برکت نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ مسلمانوں کے مال میں برکت نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ ہمیں اپنا وقت اور اپنا مال اپنے دین کی سربلندی کے لیے استعمال کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائیے. اے اللہ اس دین کو دوبارہ نشت نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ اس دین کو دوبارہ سربلندی نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ ساری دنیا میں اپنے کلمے کا بول بالا فرمائیے. اے اللہ ہمیں ان لوگوں میں شامل فرمائیے، اے اللہ جو آپ کا نام بلند کریں، جو آپ کے حبیب نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا کام اے اللہ ساری دنیا میں پہنچائیں. اے اللہ ہم سب کو اخلاص نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ ہماری تربیت فرمائیے، ظاہر سے باطن سے اللہ ہم سب کو پاک اور صاف فرمائیے. اے اللہ ہمارے اخلاق کو درست فرمائیے، اخلاق رذیلہ کو ہم سے دور فرمائیے. اے اللہ ہمارے بچوں کے سب کی تربیت فرمائیے. اے اللہ جو کچھ کہا گیا سنا گیا، اے اللہ اس پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائیے. اے اللہ اس ادارے کو قبول فرمائیے، اس ادارے کے کارکنوں کو، ذمہ داروں کو قبول فرمائیے، خدمت کرنے والوں کو، محبت کرنے والوں کو قبول فرمائیے، تعاون کرنے والوں کو قبول فرمائیے، اس ادارے کے انتظامات کو آسان فرمائیے، اس ادارے کے تمام سرگرمیوں کو آسان فرمائیے، یہاں کے مدرسے میں برکت نصیب فرمائیے، اسکول میں برکت نصیب فرمائیے، شریعہ بورڈ میں برکت نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ تمام کاموں کو آسان فرمائیے، ہر طرح کی حفاظت فرمائیے، ہر طرح کے شر سے اللہ حفاظت فرمائیے، نجات نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ حاسدوں کے حسد سے حفاظت فرمائیے، شریروں کے شر سے حفاظت فرمائیے. اے اللہ دین دونی رات چوکنی ترقی نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرمائیے، جو مانگنے سے رہ گیا وہ بھی عطا فرمائیے. اے اللہ ہمارے قلوب کی سختی کو دور فرمائیے، ہمارے قلوب کو اپنی محبت سے اے اللہ سرشار فرمائیے. اے اللہ اپنے ذکر کی حلاوت نصیب فرمائیے، قرآن پاک کی تلاوت کی لذت نصیب فرمائیے. اے اللہ ہماری آنکھوں کو اے اللہ اپنے دیدار کا اے اللہ کی لذت آخرت میں نصیب فرمائیے، اور اس دنیا میں اپنی نشانیوں کو دیکھنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائیے. وصلی اللہ وسلم علی سیدنا محمد، والحمد للہ رب العالمین.